I actually kind of was looking forward to this all day because I'm gone a lot of Wednesdays now, speaking in other places, so I don't get to be here as much. So to get to be back with you is kind of nice tonight. And I got to say, as we were worshiping, I just feel very blessed with the band that I have. You realize the same band has been playing for the almost 8 years that I've been here. I've had Marla and Jeremy, and man, there's several up here, Jonathan, Janet. These people have been with us for 8 years, so I just want to say thank you, since Marla's still here. So let's give her a hand, and the other ones will know that we are. But I feel so blessed to have them, because we can show up, and they just know the songs. We've done them enough to where we're able to just, honestly, when I first started, it was a little harder for me to worship because I was focused more on making sure everything was going right and trying to keep the band together and hoping everything was going to go well. And I get to just sit back and relax and do my part. As you know, I tend to mess up every once in a while. Amy and I have a running joke of how many times I'm going to mess up because we always make eye contact, and she laughs at me when I do that because she's one of the few that catch it. But it happens more than you probably even notice. But at this point, I don't even care. I just worship God, and whatever happens, happens. So I love that. But it's good to be with you. I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Acts chapter 1. We're going to read in verse 8. Pastor asked me Sunday to continue to talk on the Holy Spirit. After he did Sunday, he asked if I would share with you again tonight. So I'm going to. So let's just begin with prayer. God, thank you for the opportunity we have to be with you tonight. Thank you that we were able to come before you in worship. But now, Lord, as we come into your word, may we continue to worship you by just receiving your word tonight and what you have to say to us. And Lord, may we be filled with your Holy Spirit. Every day of our lives, that is something that empowers us, that helps us. And Lord, we need it in our lives. And may we recognize that. And may we recognize you and your Holy Spirit. In your name we pray. Amen. Three things I want to talk about tonight on the Holy Spirit is the purpose, the promise, and the power of the Holy Spirit. It's kind of, I kind of picture it like this. You tend to wear out after a while. All of us do, as life goes. That's what I like about Wednesdays, because it's a time to come and recharge. But if you think about a battery on a drill, if you pick it up to use it and there's no power to it, it's because it's went dead. There's no power. So you charge it up, and what happens? Man, the power's back. And that's kind of what I feel like Wednesdays are for. I feel like that's what the Holy Spirit is to us, as we tend to sometimes get drained throughout life. But as we receive the Holy Spirit, as we ask the Holy Spirit to come upon us, it recharges us. It gives us new life. And that's what Acts 1:8 says. As we read this together, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." The Holy Spirit is a gift from God, and it is a gift that will change your life. It's made to change your life. But to understand that it is a gift, it's something we receive. It's not something we have to earn. It's not something we work for. And there is no formula in how to get it. I'd love to tell you one if there was, because then we would just walk around full of the Holy Spirit all the time. But there is no formula. But the first time the Holy Spirit comes onto the scene was the day of Pentecost. Pentecost was a Jewish feast, also known as the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of Harvest. And it was exactly 50 days after the Passover. And how many of you know God never does anything by accident? Everything he does has a purpose and a plan. And I believe it was the same when the Holy Spirit made its appearance on the day of Pentecost, because it was the Feast of Harvest. And the Holy Spirit coming was about harvest. It's about harvesting souls. And its true purpose from the beginning was to bring people to Christ. That was the whole point of the Holy Spirit. Yes, it is to empower us, but it's to empower us to be witnesses. Well, why should we be witnesses? To bring people to Christ. that's the purpose. And somewhere along the way, I think we tend to lose sight of that purpose. Growing up in church, my parents pastored many churches growing up, and I saw the Holy Spirit take many forms, some of which were not the Holy Spirit. They were people. And it did the opposite of bringing people to Christ. It actually put up a wall between non-believers and God. Because they saw something that did not look like Christ, and they said, if that's what the Holy Spirit is, I don't want any part of it. But I have also witnessed the Holy Spirit in a way where I couldn't help but want more, and where I couldn't help but desire to have it. And I know what it's like to experience that, and I want everyone to be able to experience that. Its purpose is for harvest, harvesting souls. Now, we understand that we believe the speaking in tongues is part of it, just like the Bible declares. Acts 2:4, they spoke in tongues. 10 years later in Acts chapter 10, they spoke in tongues. 20 years later in Acts chapter 19, it says they spoke in tongues. But the coming of the Holy Spirit is a lot more than just speaking in tongues. We get so caught up in that, and it becomes kind of weird. But this Feast of Pentecost was a graphic picture of the promise that Jesus told to the disciples in the Holy Spirit coming. So let's look at that. If you have your Bibles, John chapter 16. Jesus is talking to his disciples. John chapter 16, verse 7. And this is where we get the promise of the Holy Spirit. It says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." Now I find that interesting. Because does that mean in everything else that Jesus said he was lying? No. All he was doing was he was saying, this is important, pay attention. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." Here it comes. "It's to your advantage that I go away." Now, how would you really believe that? I mean, you've got Christ right there with you. He's performing miracles. He's doing great, mighty things. And then he says, "It's to my advantage that I leave." I would be thinking, no way. But he says, "For if I do not go, the Helper will not come. But if I go, I will send him to you." That was the promise Jesus made that day. They didn't know what it was going to look like. They didn't know what it was. We get to understand it now because we look back on it and read about it and we understand what it was. But they had no idea. They only knew that it was a promise that Jesus gave them. And it was 50 days later that it finally happened. It says the Holy Spirit filled them. It filled the house that they were in. It filled everything. And the Holy Spirit came upon them. And I doubt there were any questions in their mind on what this was. Do you think they were like, do you think that's what Jesus was talking about? No, I bet they were like, this is it. We finally received it. Exactly what Jesus promised is now here. It's here. And they were rejoicing in that. They were so excited. That's the promise we have today. The same promise that Jesus promised the disciples. He's telling us we can have that same thing. And here's another part of that. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39. Peter says this, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." And then he says, "You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Look at the words he says. "The promise is for you, not only for you, but for your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." So the promise is clear. It's for all of us. It's not just for us. It's for our children. It's for all of those around us. And that's the promise we can live in. Now, I remember when I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I can't really give you a date of when I was saved. I don't really remember because I was young and I just don't know. I can't really say, oh, on this day I said the prayer. I probably said it a million times, to be honest with you, because I grew up just thinking everything I did, I was going to hell. So I would say that prayer over and over and over. So I did do that. But I remember sitting at home watching TV with my parents. I have a brother and sister. Both are older. My brother's 3 years older, and my sister's 2 years older. I was in second grade, so I would have been 8 years old. So that puts my brother at 11, my sister at 10. And we're watching TV with my parents, and on this particular night, they decided to flip the TV off and were sitting there talking. And they began to explain to my brother and sister and I what the Holy Spirit was. There was nothing weird. There was no shaking. There was no screaming or shouting. They just said, this is what it is. If you would like to receive it, we're going to pray and you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I remember the place where I was sitting on the floor when I asked and I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I remember that feeling. I'll never forget it because I've felt it many times since then. But it was something that I experienced. So when I read this and he says it's for you and for your children, I think about that, about how my parents took the time to share that with me. But I also think now about my own children. And I have to think, am I showing them Christ through the way that I live? Am I showing them what it is to live with the Holy Spirit inside of me? Do I look different? Do I offer that promise to them? Have I taken the time to explain that to them? Connor's already in third grade. He's already older than when I was when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I have to be looking at this going, what am I going to do to make sure Connor and Tessa understand the promise that is for them as much as it was for me? Second thing is the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Once again, our Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the first scripture we read. But you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. The whole thing about the power to be witnesses, it's about winning souls. Like I said earlier, it's the power to witness. It doesn't make us different. We're not going to look different in the fact that, you know, physically we're different. We get bigger and receive, you know, we can lift more. It's not that kind of power. It's something that wells up within inside of us, as I said earlier, that when you have this, you can't help but want to share it with others. You want everyone you know to want to have the same thing. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. It's a lifestyle of witnessing. It's not just something we do, it's who we are. And that's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. The end result of being baptized in the Holy Spirit is for Christ to be known, loved, and praised. And it's up to us to not only receive it, but then to share it. I think people truly get away from that sometimes. That's where, as I said earlier, when I was younger, I would see some things that maybe were not really the Holy Spirit. Maybe they weren't even of God. And they were hurting the actual image of God. But we understand the promise and the purpose of God and why it's there. So what's the power of God? Well, we will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon us. The Greek word translated power is dunamis. It's where we get the word dynamite. It's a dynamic power. Now, dynamic, according to Webster's dictionary, is marked by continuous and productive activity or change. Continuous and productive activity. That's what the Holy Spirit can do for us. It changes us, but it's not just a one-time change. We're continually changing. Once again, when I think of my children, I hope that they see continual productivity coming from my life. Not just ugly, not negative, not knocking them down, but a part of God that they can't help but want to be like or want to have for themselves. That's the power that comes from the Holy Spirit. There's a lot more to the Holy Spirit than just speaking in tongues, as I said. We tend to get focused on that, and we try to figure out how we're going to do this. We try to come up with a system, and you'll never figure it out. It's not something I can explain. It's not where I can say, well, you have it and you don't, or you did this right and you did this wrong. You know, I used to help with youth camps, which I'm going to start doing now this summer. But in southern Missouri, I used to, for like 6 years, I helped at these youth camps. And I remember these students, man, we would have 600-700 students at each camp each week. And a lot of them would come forward and they'd be praying and they would receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The speaker was very good at encouraging them to pray and ask and receive it. Unfortunately, I remember having conversations with the director of the camp and saying, can we not send them home understanding what it means to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Because when they go home, they just go, well, I spoke in tongues, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, and then they just go back to life as usual. But as I said, it should be a dunamis power that comes within us that's a continual change that constantly is working inside of us. And so we begin to try to describe that to these students and say, you will want to practice this continually. You want to use this all the time. It's something beneficial to you, and it's not a one-time thing. Ephesians 6:18 says this, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying. That's interesting. Does that mean we have to always walk around with our eyes closed praying? That would be impossible. We're driving down the road. I'm just praying. You know, that's not going to work. But you know what? You can pray without having your eyes closed. You can pray in the Spirit. So the directive is for us to pray. What does that mean? If you have a Bible, look at Romans chapter 8, verse 26. We're going to put it up here. And this is what it's talking about in Ephesians when it says to continually pray. Romans chapter 8, verse 26, and we're going to read through 28. It says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. You know, we quote that last part a lot, verse 28. We quote the, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. We quote that a lot, but we forget about the first part of that, about praying in the Spirit. And when we are weak, it's the Spirit that helps us know what to pray and makes us strong. Sometimes you have to look at this and go, okay, that's a lot of words. That's a lot to take in. It's a little confusing. But God's not in the form of making people confused. He's not in that kind of business. He wants us to understand. He wants us to be able to be clear about what he wants for our lives. He wants us to be clear, not confused. I'll put it that way. So how do we do that? Well, it comes down to our prayer life. First, you got to be able to just pray, period. It begins with just praying. But when you ask the Holy Spirit to come upon you, you receive the Holy Spirit and you begin to pray. And the Holy Spirit's praying for you. It's interceding for you. I think of it like this. Jesus is in heaven interceding for us. The Holy Spirit is on earth interceding for us when we pray. So you ask, what is the promise of the Holy Spirit? The promise is that it's for all of us. What's the purpose of the Holy Spirit? So that we will be witnesses. To bring others into this place, but not just here, into the kingdom. It's a kingdom-building purpose. And what is the power of the Holy Spirit? I'll read it again. Romans chapter 8. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans and words that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance to God's will. And then we know that all things in God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. You see, on that day that I read about earlier, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues. It says all 120 spoke in tongues, not just the emotional like Peter and John. What about solemn, reserved Andrew? You know what? He spoke in tongues. What about doubting Thomas? He spoke in tongues. It said all 120 spoke in tongues. So this is the moment when it tends to get weird, because we take a moment to pray for this, and we're going to take a minute. I'm going to grab the guitar again. I'm going to sing a song, and I'm going to invite you to just pray. And I'm going to invite you to ask the Holy Spirit to come upon you, just as if you were asking for salvation. And like I said, I can't give you any kind of formula, that's going to make that happen. But I believe that God wants you to have all that He has for you, and I believe the Holy Spirit is part of that. Do you believe that tonight? Do you have faith for that tonight? Because it begins there. If you don't believe, and you just say, well, I guess I'll ask, but you have no faith, if you do not believe, then you won't receive. And that doesn't just rhyme just to sound good. If you do not believe, you won't receive. But if you ask and believe, why would He say it's for all of us? Why would He say it's for everyone? And if you walk out of here tonight and you're saying, well, I didn't feel anything. I think you'll know. Just like they knew that day that Jesus had promised them something and it showed up and they didn't have any question. You will walk out of here knowing that you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. I wouldn't talk about this if I didn't believe it was real. And you can't really say, well, I believe that Jesus saves. I believe He died on the cross. I believe that part of the Bible, but I don't know if I believe this part. You take it all or don't take it at all. So tonight, as we close, as we end this night, I'm just going to invite you to stand. And if you would like to receive the Holy Spirit, let's stand. All we're going to do is ask. We're going to pray. And after I pray, I'm going to begin to sing, and I'm just going to invite you to begin to pray. And just ask for the Holy Spirit to come upon you. It's not about someone laying hands on you. Pastor talked about this Sunday, I know. But I just believe there's some in here that would like to receive. And you know what? Here's the thing I would encourage you with. If you do walk out of here tonight and you say, you know what? I didn't feel anything. I didn't receive anything. Don't give up. That doesn't mean that it's not for you. It doesn't mean that it won't happen. I'll tell you a quick story that kind of helps me understand this part of it. I remember a church that we attended before, that we were ministering in before this, in Bolivar. We had a gentleman come on a Sunday night to our service. He'd never been there before. He was from Springfield. He happened to be passing through. He pulled in, he sat on the back row, and he just observed the service. Didn't have anything to say. Didn't respond at the altar time. We didn't know anything. He was even there, honestly. He just kind of sat in the back. He left when it was over. But they were talking about the Holy Spirit that night. And he had never received the Holy Spirit. And he walked out of that service feeling nothing. He thought it was interesting, but didn't think a thing about it. And 2 days later, he was walking in Walmart in Springfield and walking down the aisle. The Holy Spirit fell upon him. He began to speak in tongues right there in Walmart. Now, how many of you know the dude just didn't decide to get crazy right there in Walmart? It's not like he chose to do that. But I do believe he was wanting to receive it. And you know what? God answered his prayer. Was it where he probably wanted him to? No. And so I can't tell you where it's going to happen. I can't tell you when it's going to happen. But I believe it can happen. So my question is, do you believe that tonight? Do you believe that tonight? Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much. Lord, first of all, for your promise that we can receive the Holy Spirit. Lord, we understand the purpose. It's not to run people out of this place. It's not to scare people. Lord, it's to bring people closer to you. And I pray that we do that through your Holy Spirit. But Lord, we also understand we receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. And that's what we long for tonight. God, we're asking for your Holy Spirit to fall upon us in this place. Lord, for those who maybe have never received, we're praying for that right now. God, for those who have received it before, but it's been a long time, Lord, maybe they're hungry for the Holy Spirit in their life in a greater way, Lord. We're praying for that right now. In your name we pray. God, may we continue to want more of you. Not just on Wednesdays, not just on Sundays, but God, every day of our life. May we long for more of you. May we be led by your Holy Spirit. May we be filled with your Holy Spirit. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. As you are leaving tonight, if you maybe need a little explanation or would like prayer, I'll be glad to pray with you. I'll be down here at the front. And otherwise, have a great night, and we'll see you Sunday.